The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise God. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm glad you could join me once again this week as we get into the Word of God. We've got a very special message that I recorded this morning as I record this introduction to it. Recorded this morning at Faith and Victory Church. And so I just want to get right into that message on how to receive from God. Title, I always like to give the title to the message before we get started so they'll know what to write down there in the back. But basically, the title is How to Receive by Faith. Hallelujah. And if you will, pull up the scripture on your, on the screen back there about, Lucifer said in his heart that he will exalt his throne above the Most High. If you can find that, that way I won't have to search for it. It's funny, I had all these scriptures lined up, and then as I drove in, the Lord said, start with that one. I was like, okay. Where is it? Hallelujah. All righty. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll pray and get started. Oh, Father God, we thank you so much that we have the privilege to come together and to share from your word. We thank you, sir, that the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church, and we just open ourselves this morning to receive from your word by your spirit. And Father, we just believe we will receive some things today that will impact our lives individually. We thank you, Father, for not only all the folks that are here, but also those that are watching over internet, IPTV, and throughout the world. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Well, trust they'll find that scripture back there. In the meantime, I'll just share the story. there is an incident reported in the scripture that talks about how Satan decided he was going to elevate his throne above the Most High. Now, as we get into that, I want you to think about a couple of things. There's going to be some key phrases and words that we're going to bring out today as we get into the Word. And kind of perk your ears up when you hear them. Faith, of course, goes without saying. Vision, insight, and mental perception. Maybe is a good phrase or way to put it. But basically, I want you to think about this particular occurrence of what happened with Satan. Satan found himself, first of all, he at this time was not Satan. He was Lucifer. He was the anointed cherub. He was the one who basically, you might say, well, let's put it this way, he worked for God. Okay, he was on God's side. He was not created evil. He was, in fact, an angel that was had a very high level of authority, and he saw how God operated, okay? That's the part I want you to think about here. He saw how God operated, and so he said, notice, he said, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. I will, in other words, elevate myself to the position of God. Well, you think, how in the world could he have thought that would work? I mean, come on. We're talking God, and we're talking an angel. Now, the two key things I want you to think about in that particular incident, and that is Lucifer did not have the right to say by faith. Okay? He also obviously did not have the right to elevate his throne above the Most High. Now, the thing that a lot of people miss about that particular scripture is he had a throne. He had a throne. Matter of fact, the scripture says that he was, you might say, I've heard it put this way, the leader of music in heaven. He was one who led worship and praise, and he led in music. There is also some scripture that would seem to indicate he had some authority over the world that then was. Okay? Meaning the earth, but it was the world that then was. This is before what happened in Genesis 1, verse 2. Okay? There was a world that was created. Satan had rule and reign over that world under God in correct authority. But then his fall created destruction on the earth. And when that happened, talk about Lucifer's fall, when he fell, destruction came to the earth, and God had to re-create the earth, which is why he told Adam and Eve, replenish the earth. Now, if that particular teaching is blind to you, I encourage you to study it out. I will say this, I do not teach that as absolute doctrine, that's the way it is and none other, but I have seen it in the Scripture as being a fairly valid approach. It will not matter one whit whether you believe that or not as far as going to heaven. Amen. Understand that? Has nothing to do with you going to heaven. It's just an interesting kind of a thing. However, this world that was, that Satan ruled over, he had a throne. Now again, under God's authority in the right lineage, if you will, of authority. He was not usurping his position by having that throne. But notice what it says here in Isaiah 14, 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. And the word stars here is angels of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. Basically saying that he's going to elevate his throne above God. Now, that was his goal. That was his desire. And he said something ostensibly by faith. But guess what? He couldn't say it by faith because it was not according to the Word of God. Okay? He thought he was acting according to spiritual principles. You see what I'm saying? He had seen how God operates. He saw that God spoke words and they came to pass. He saw that he could get a vision in his heart and then bring that vision to pass according to the words that he spoke out of his mouth. He saw that system in motion and he thought, wow, if that system works the way I've seen it work, then I can say with my mouth that this is going to happen and it will come to pass. But he missed a couple of things. The couple of things he missed is he had no right. He was an angel. Only God and mankind has the right to use their words to cause things to come to pass. Did you get that? God made man in his own image. Satan was not made in God's image. When Satan was created, when he was formed as an angel. An angelic being is not a human. Okay? And when we die, we don't become angels. A lot of people think that, and Hollywood likes to portray that in the old movies. You know, they don't make movies like that anymore. But when they did, they falsely portrayed that people became angels when they died. That is not the case. An angel is a created being. They are unique. And they are messengers of God. They are sent to be those who work on our behalf as heirs of salvation. So basically, we'll put it this way, they're the worker bees. They get things done in the spirit realm, you know what I'm saying? For us, okay? So therefore, we do not worship them. We do not, now catch this, because this is a doctrine that was going around a little while ago. We don't call upon them directly. Amen. We do not address them directly. They hearken to the word of God that we speak out of our mouth. We don't have to address them. When they hear us speak the word, they go to work for us. Amen. That's their assignment. Amen. Okay? So Satan's not even in the class that he could speak the word and have it come to pass. And of course, he wasn't speaking the word. He was speaking a lie. He was speaking his desire, his wrong desire, to elevate his throne above God. But he thought he was operating by faith. So A, he was the wrong kind of created being, an angel or an angelic type being. So he didn't have a right. He also couldn't have been speaking by faith because there's no faith in saying I'm going to exalt my throne above the Most High. Matter of fact, listen to this closely. I have the right to speak the word of God and have it be a creative force. Absolutely. But do you know that I do not have the right to say I'm going to exalt my throne above the Most High? That's against the word of God. That's against the plan of God. So even if I had the right, even if Satan had the right to speak and have things come to pass, he couldn't have succeeded with this. So he's wrong on at least two levels, probably more. But for our purposes, that's far enough. Okay? But here's what I want you to see about what Satan did here. He said, "For thou hast said in thine heart." Notice he said in his heart. It was something he envisioned in his heart. Now, Satan saw into a spiritual principle that he still to this day knows something about. Now, this is why I wanted to put it that way. There are a lot of false doctrines, false religions, occult teachings, New Age teachings, all these kinds of things that talk about the power of getting a mental image. Okay? And they act like if you can get a mental image in your mind, and some of them even talk about talking that, talk what you have in your mental image in your mind, then it will come to pass. Well, the problem with that is there's nothing behind it empowering it. There's no power of God behind that. They somehow, as they teach it, they kind of teach it like it's just the power of your mind, your willpower, you know, is going to bring that to pass. Well, that won't work. That just won't work. The power of God is what's required to bring your words to pass if you speak them in line with the Word of God. Okay? It's not your mind that does that. But your mind is involved. Now see, this is the point where the occult New Age teaching and the Bible part ways. Okay? And this is why when you teach along these lines that I'm teaching this morning, you kind of shift in your seat and go, "Yeah, I don't know, Brother Bill. That mental image stuff, that sounds a little too much like the occult or like New Agey doctrine, you know." And so people reject it. And they don't think about a mental image. But there is a sound biblical reason for having a right mental image concerning what you're believing for. Now the reason I brought up, and I didn't realize I was going to bring this up, so I didn't have the scripture ready, in Isaiah 14, 13 and 14, but the reason that I believe the Lord showed me that on the way in this morning is that's the origin of Satan having the understanding of a mental image and words being spoken about that mental image. And since he knew that then, he knows it now and he teaches it in this false New Age teaching. You see what I'm saying? But it does not nullify the original, actual, correct teaching concerning getting a good mental image. All right? Hopefully, you got that, and we can kind of go from there. All right? So, let's look at Proverbs 29. We'll get into the actual scripture I had written down now. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, there's that word, the people perish. Some translations say the people fail. Some translations say are left naked. All of those are correct definitions. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But now look at that. Where there is no vision, that's the Hebrew word shalzon. Okay? You know me, I like to go to the original languages and find out what it's talking about. The Hebrew word here is shalzon. It means mental sight or revelation. Mental sight. And that's what I want us to think about here this morning. When it comes to faith, you got to get a mental sight. You got to get an image. You got to get a revelation of what it is you're believing for. Now here it says, where there is no mental sight or revelation, the people fail or perish. They come to nothing. They are left destitute and naked without that mental sight or that vision. Next verse, Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Book of Habakkuk. That's not tobacco. You know, when you're from North Carolina, you kind of got to throw that in there. Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, the mental sight or revelation. Make it plain. Now, a couple of things I want us to see here. First of all, you have to have a mental sight. Then it says you need to write it down. And it says you need to make it plain. Well, what does that mean? It means plan. Now, a lot of people may think, wow, he's done left the reservation here. You going to plan to operate by faith? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You need to plan your operation of faith. You need to take the time to get a clear mental sight or vision of your goal, of what you're believing for, what you're trying to achieve in the spirit realm. Then you need to write it down. Now I know, you know, we were talking about the New Year's Eve service, and one of the things that came out one New Year's Eve in particular was that we needed to write down on New Year's Eve all the things we were going to believe for, all the goals we had for the year, but then put our faith on it, and then by the next New Year's Eve, go back and look how many had come to pass, scratch those off and write down some more and keep that going. I heard a lot of people teach that at one point. But somehow we kind of let that slip. You need to write it down. It says, write the vision, make it plain upon tables. Today we'd say on paper. That he may run that readeth it. So that means you got to read it. Once you write it, a lot of people write it down, then they forget it until next year. No. Write it down and read it. Go over the vision. Refresh it. But now notice what it says. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. That word appointed time in Hebrew is moed. It is an appointed time. At the end of the vision, the manifestation, it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. That doesn't mean just wait and twiddle your thumbs. That means continue to stand fast, believe God, be in the operation of patience. You know, patience doesn't mean laying down, letting the devil run over you like over a rug. No, patience is to be consistently the same way all the time. Amen. Consistency. So, be consistent because it, the vision that you've written down, will surely come. It will not tarry. Amen. All right? Now, all of that was to get us to Hebrews chapter 11. That's where I want to spend a little bit of time here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And this is very, very familiar scripture. This is stuff that's just refresher course to you here. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith. Well, we're talking about now faith. We're not talking about then faith. We're not talking about was faith. We're not talking about to be faith in the future. We're talking about now faith. Now, I know that the word now can be used as the beginning of a sentence. You know, like you say, now then, folks. You know what I'm saying? But the way this is structured in the Greek, now faith is faith in the present tense. All right, it is present tense faith. That is the substance of things hoped for. Now this word hope is what corresponds with what we saw earlier about mental vision. Okay? Now I'm going to take just a second, let that sink in. Hope is the mental vision. If you don't have the mental vision, if you haven't made it plain, there is nothing for faith to give substance to. Did you get that? It would be like me telling Brother Larry, "Brother Larry, go build me a car." And he says, "All right, Brother Bill, I'll go build you a car." What kind of car? "Well, yeah, I don't know." How many wheels is it going to have? "I don't know." "What kind of engine is it going to have?" "I don't know." In other words, you haven't made any plans. You're just going to take a bunch of junk and throw it together and say, "There's your car." How well will that work? It won't work at all. So you've got to plan your work and work your plan. Amen? That's wisdom when it comes to the natural world as well as it is to the spiritual world. Plan your work, work your plan. All right? You've got to have a mental vision. You've got to have a plan. Now, I'm not talking about planning out how you're going to get healed. "I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to get healed." Okay? No. But you can get a vision of health. You can get a vision of yourself well. You can get a vision, if you're laying in bed, of you up out of bed and walking. You can get a mental picture, an image, a vision of the desired end result. And if you have a picture of the desired end result, then your faith has something that it can give substance to. Amen. See what we're saying? Amen. So if we take this scripture apart, now faith is the substance. And actually the Greek here is very interesting. It says the giving of substance to. So let's read it that way. Faith is the giving of substance to the things you have a mental image of that you have conceived in your mind. Hope. Now this word hope is the word elpis. It's actually translated, depending on where it is in the scripture and how it's used, it's either the word elpis or elpidzo. All right? And it depends on the tense and so forth. But listen to what it means. To anticipate. What do you anticipate with? With your mental vision. Right? Usually, now this is the key part to me, usually with pleasure, expectation, and confidence. So this is I like to put it this way, this is a constant, favorable expectation or anticipation. Okay? That's what this word hope is. Other places in the Bible, in the King James Bible, the same word is translated trust. In other words, we're to trust in God. We're to have a confident, pleasurable expectation or anticipation concerning our outcome. Why? Because God said, "My thoughts toward you are thoughts of your success, not of your failure." Amen? God wants you to succeed. He wants you blessed. He has no interest in you being in pain. He has no interest in you being sick. He is the Lord that healeth thee. He's the Lord that delivers you. He is the Lord who provides your needs. He's not the one who taketh away. Okay? And, I like what Pastor said a few Sundays ago when he was teaching. He was talking about Jesus going around the villages healing. He said, if Jesus was constantly doing the will of the Father and doing only what he saw the Father do, somewhere, at some point, you'd have thought he'd have walked into a town and laid hands on somebody and said, "Get cancer." I mean, if that was really God's will, and he was doing God's will, you would think at some point in all of his ministry, he would have laid hands on somebody and made them sick. But you know he never did. Everybody he laid hands on got healed. So healing is the demonstrated will of God. Did you get that? Amen. Healing is the demonstrated by Jesus will of God. Prosperity and meeting people's needs is the demonstrated by Jesus, because he provided tax money. You remember, for the disciples, he said, "Go fishing, take the money out of the mouth of the first fish." Provision. He multiplied the bread, gave it out to the disciples, who gave it to the people. provision, constantly providing, constantly giving to people. I heard a message by Pastor Keith Moore this morning, and he was teaching. And he was talking about a pastor friend of his. And this particular pastor had been teaching something in his church that his church didn't like. You know, but it was the Word of God. It was accurate. But some of his people didn't like what he was teaching. And so this well-dressed man came to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I don't like what you're teaching. And if you don't quit teaching that, I'm going to take my money, my tithe, and my family and leave the church." And the pastor said, "Well, brother, I'm sorry you don't like what I'm teaching, but it's Bible." He says, "I know it's Bible, but I don't like it. And you shouldn't be preaching it because I don't like it." And he said, "Well, I can't preach something, not preach something just because you don't like it." So sure enough, the guy left the church, took his money and left. Well, the pastor watched him go, and he prayed and he said, "Lord, there goes the biggest giver in the church." And the Lord said to the pastor, "No, I'm still here." I went, "Yeah, amen." But I notice that. The Lord said, "I'm still here. I'm the biggest giver." He provided Jesus, his only son. My goodness, he's the biggest giver. Not to mention all that he's been doing to bless us and so forth and so on. I mean, wow. So he is the biggest giver. He's the one who is the example of giving. He's the one Jesus saw do what he did, and then Jesus went and did that. Amen. Okay? So Jesus did the example of the Father God. So we know God's nature is to be a giver. He is one who loves his children. He wants what's best for us. So we have a constant, favorable anticipation or expectation in life. A lot of people, I've had people tell me, I had a guy at work, as a matter of fact, tell me, he says, "Dr. Bill, you're just too nice." Well, praise the Lord. I hope you enjoyed that message. We're going to continue it next week on the Netcast, so join us for that. And of course, you can always go to our website, wofm.org, and get lots of other teaching and videos and audio messages. Our radio messages are archived out there. All kinds of good resources that you can receive from the Word of God from that website. So that's www.wofm.org. I'll put it right here on the screen. And you can write that down, tell your friends about it, share that with them. Also, you can write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, 5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. And of course, it's always faster to send me an email. You can send me an email at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org. Join us at our website. Join us next week. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.